Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I am your humble host today, Michelle Burquist, and with me, I am very delighted to introduce our leading lady today, as somebody who I have watched for years on TV over the years and now is in her own business enterprise doing incredible things under the idea of being a brand journalist. And I'm happy to introduce Phoebe Chongchua, who is the founder and the brand journalist of the Brand Journalism Advantage. So Phoebe, say hello to all of our listeners and welcome to Women Lead Radio today.
Michelle, thank you so much for having me on. I'm excited to be here. I love what you guys are doing out there for women, so very thrilled to be part of this.
Well, thank you. We want to see more women lead, but I know I shared with you at the beginning, I go, you have to be totally uncomfortable right now because usually you're the one doing all the interviewing and the interrogating, and I get to interrogate you today, so I'm excited.
That's right. I'm in the hot seat today.
You're in the hot seat. Well, you know, I am dying because, you know, I watched you for so many years on TV, and you were a fabulous journalist, and you were a media personality and all of that, but I'm dying to know, I mean, what made you make the transition from, you know, working in TV and in the media and then starting your own enterprise and business? Obviously, you've got some great talents, but what was the kind of tipping point and excitement for you to say, I'm doing it on my own and I'm going to go do it?
You know, it's kind of an interesting story because it's rather personal. And, you know, sharing this, I don't mind sharing it at all because the time has passed and there was a lot of pain at the time that it happened, but my father got sick with prostate cancer, and he was living in San Diego, which is my hometown, and it's where I launched my career at the ripe old age of 19 in radio.
Wow.
And then moved on to Channel 10. By the time I was like 21 years old, I was a news anchor and a reporter for the station, so I'd been doing it a long time. And then my father came down with prostate cancer, and we thought that we were going to be able to get him through it. And sadly, he ended up passing because of prostate cancer. But during that time, I took a leave of absence. There were a lot of changes that were happening in television at the time. At the time, there were three major networks. There was, you know, of course, ABC, CBS, and NBC. You didn't have a lot of this, what we have today. So
right.
I took that leave of absence, and I also had a very young daughter, Sienna, who is now in college, almost out. And she, you know, going through all of
Yay.
This, looking at what was happening. Yes, exactly. Looking at what was happening to the market and the industry, and I'll get into that a little. That leads to where I am today. But I just couldn't see going on in what I was doing. And my father's death, and maybe there's some women out there who can really understand this. There's sometimes in your life when something happens that liberates you. In other words, I had wanted to be a journalist since I was 12 years old. But by the time I'd had my daughter and I was doing all of these really negative stories about kids getting killed, people living in San Diego will remember a lot of horrific stories that were always on the news. And remember, that was just what we did every day. So when I was doing that, it really, really dragged my spirits down. And I had a hard time doing that as my daughter started growing older. So by the time my daughter's 5, 6, 7, and I'm covering these same stories, I was not having the thick skin that I had when I was just about 21, 22, 23, 24. So partly I knew that the writing was on the wall and it was going to be time to change. But when I took that leave of absence, it got me away, and I went through a lot of pain with my dad. And I just never expected to lose a parent in my, you know, mid-30s like I did, especially not to cancer. And so that really caused me to look at life differently, and I ended up parting ways. And some due to the changes that were happening at the station at the time, I was creating one of the largest resource festivals in California, which was known as 10 Leadership Day. And I've been doing
that.
Yeah, it was totally the highlight of my career. It was like this wonderful feel-good festival where I brought about 500 businesses and nonprofits together, and we were really doing good. But things were changing, and there was some concern about whether we were going to actually keep doing that. And I thought, oh, no, and then what? I go back to just reporting on drive-by shootings? Not good. So that was really the catalyst for it, and it opened up the door. I didn't know the first thing about entrepreneurship, so it was like
you
well,
learn really
you
fast,
go.
Don't you? You learn,
yeah.
But you know, before you go, and first of all, I just want to say thank you for sharing that such a personal story, because I think so many people, and for our listeners, they will think, oh my gosh, it's just it's a perfect thing. You are in a shiny light. Here you are on the media, and yet I would imagine that would get old, because what is the whole old saying? It's like if it bleeds, it leads. You know, and people
right.
hear that and you think, oh, it's all wonderful and sugar-coated candy when you're a journalist and you're on TV like that. But I would imagine that would get old. And then what a tipping point for you, you know, to just kind of make that change. So good for you. But I know you're going now. When I started my business, which is, I think you said you've been around for about 10 years, your specialty has been with this multimedia brand journalism. And I want to know, what is that? Share that with what that is for our listeners.
Yeah, right. It's a whole lot of words, and people are like, what? And then I throw in the word, and I'm a podcast host, and then I really have confused them. You know, it's really quite simple, and actually I kind of alluded to it with what I was talking about with 10 Leadership Day. Brand journalism is nothing more than the meaningful content that's told on behalf of a brand, not necessarily about the brand's product or service, but it's that enrichment that connects through really powerful multimedia storytelling to an audience. So it doesn't matter whether you're a brick-and-mortar store or you have, you know, a solopreneurship, online business, you need to tell stories that engage the audience. And when you tell those stories, either radio stories, video stories, infographics, images that you're putting out, even Facebook Notes today is a powerful platform, and LinkedIn Pulse to get your message out. So it's branding in one sense, advertising in another, but it's coming at it from a journalistic standpoint. So we ask different questions, and it's really all about the questions that then generates a powerful series of stories that help support the brand and give it exposure and attract clients.
Well, you know, oh my gosh, you know, we have like 45 minutes, but I can tell we're going to have you back more than once. You know, I mean, to me, so many of our listeners are women owners, you know, and so there's a variety of women who own businesses. Can you give me an example of a business where this kind of storytelling and branding and advertising will work, you know, from a lead generation standpoint, or is it just to secure your brand online on your website? Can you give an example of a business and where, you know, you kind of put some of those things into play and they benefited from this multimedia brand journalism? I'm a person who wants to hear examples, but I hope our listeners do too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And so really, you can start with a bigger picture of brands out there that are doing it. And sometimes it's good to set the stage by looking, you know, at what is already going on, right? So if we back this up, when I started doing all of this, I had originally launched a magazine called Live Fit Magazine, and that was my flagship. And I was telling stories about the brands. This is no different than what I was doing on the news when I was doing 10 Leadership Day, the Resource Festival. I was bringing together a business, marrying it together with a problem or something that was going on in the community, and then finding a solution and telling that story. So, for instance, you might have a culinary school that needs to gain exposure. And what have we been seeing in the news lately? We've been seeing E. coli outbreaks, right? So this is where you would marry together, instead of just saying, come to my culinary school and look at what we're doing, the great things. Now, mind you, it doesn't have to be a culinary school. This can be a hair salon. This can be an accounting firm. This can be a law firm. There's many different ways to spin stories so that they enrich the end user. But when we do brand journalism, I want you to really keep your eye honed in on that focus. The aim of it is to address the concern of the person who's going to view it, see it, read it, hear it, consume it, right? That's the most important thing. So what we might do with the culinary school example is we might note that in the news there's E. coli outbreak with this restaurant over here. I won't mention the name right now because I think they've taken enough of a beating.
That's good.
But yeah. I think we all know, you know, who it was.
Yeah, I think we all know that nationally. You just go there. Think about that one. Okay. We'll keep it under wraps.
Right. And it happens. It happens all the time. I mean, as a news reporter, I remember covering FoodMaker when that went down.
Oh.
So it happens all the time. But what other brands can do something that I call piggyback journalism is they can hop on the backs of a real-time news story like the E. coli outbreak, and they can say, we have a sidebar story that is of interest. They pitch that story to the news reporter. Now they've done two things. They've interjected their thought leadership, their own position on something that is already happening real time in the news. The news media cares about this for two main reasons. One is that they're already covering it. Two, they have a limited staff, even more so than when I was in the news, very limited right now, and they need help getting stories. So always when we have a big story like an E. coli outbreak or something like that, they're looking for ways to tell more stories so they can do, what we call team reporting. So the first reporter covers the actual, here's what happened, here's where it happened, the who, what, where, why, when, all of that, just the facts.
Right.
And then they always want to find a local angle because a lot of times they've got this national story, but they have to localize it to the San Diego marketplace. So that's where the culinary school comes in with what we call brand journalism, and they craft a story. So the story might be something like this. Even though you have the E. coli outbreak happening in a commercial restaurant, they might share what are the 5 tips to avoid E. coli in your home, how to clean your countertops so that you avoid E. coli in your home. It's more common than you think. That's a great story, and that is a great sidebar story. So you can see it won't be the lead story. The lead story is going to be that restaurant that's having problems. But down maybe in the B block, which comes, obviously following the A block. So
it's
not
still
short,
the A block, right?
That's right. I know my ABCs. So when that block comes in, they're now talking about, they're going to team reporter, Bob, who might be at XYZ culinary school, who's now going to give us tips about that. But it's not going to be about, let's go check out, what your program is to enlist chefs. That's not the story.
Right.
So if you follow what I'm saying, you're taking, again, that piggyback journalism method. You're finding a real-time story, and this is why you have to have things like Google Alerts set up around keywords in your industry and key things that are important so that you are getting that real-time feedback. Because if you miss this moment, it's gone. If you come to the media, 3 weeks later with this story, it's no longer a story. They're already on to something else. So you got to hit them up at that point. So important technique.
Yeah, and with the culinary school, so would that be, am I reading it right, too, in what you're saying, Phoebe, that it's like if you're the culinary school, not only do you get that kind of visibility, on the news or in the media, but on the same token, you really position yourself as a quote-unquote expert of, am I right? So in the culinary school, they're giving tips, they're giving suggestions, they're educating, so they look as the expert of within their industry.
Yes. So you could have a, you could have a nutrition product. You could have a Weight Watcher type, product. Anything along those lines. You could be a consultant on nutrition. You can jump in these at any time when you see it going on because these are such, interesting human interest evoking stories that there's always an angle to come at it. But 9 out of 10 times, if not 10 out of 10 times, and I was a reporter, for 15 plus years, that's not how I was pitched. I was pitched something like, we just launched XYZ product. Would you like to come out and check it out? Or we're having our grand opening. Yeah, and I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, there's no way that's going to work. Now, you still can see some of these stories on the news, and people ask me, well, then how did they get on the news? Well, there's a little thing called advertising that goes on in the news, and if you happen to advertise with the television, which is not cheap, a lot of times you will have a little more favor with them. And or every once in a while, the press release that comes across has a hook, like maybe you've invited a celebrity or maybe you've had someone else that we're really trying to get to that person, but we got to go through it by way of what you have put in your press release and go to it. So the reason brand journalism is effective today and the reason you don't just want to have to go to the media and get your story told is because the playing field has been leveled by the internet. And what I mean by that is, look, right, you have a radio show right now. I have a television internet network called PCIN.TV where I can broadcast whatever I want. You and I can jump on a Google Hangout, a Periscope, a Blab, a Facebook Live, and connect with people who matter more than the television can, because TV just broadcasts its signal out, but it's not necessarily the right audience that you want. So where the brand journalist comes in is the brand journalist comes in, studies your brand, does a brand analysis of your audience, who you're really trying to target and connect to, and then develops content that is strictly for that audience, as opposed to taking your content through a press release, trying to get on the news. Maybe you get on, and then when you see the story on the news, you go, "What? That's not what we, that's not what we wanted." So, you know, one last thing I'll say about that is the brand journalist, any brand journalist, you know, worth their weight in gold, is going to tell you that not every story is going to be about you, the brand, your product, your service, or even you, the CEO. It's going to be about the things that we've done a brand analysis on, and we know you want to attract people. So it's like going to a party and talking just about yourself. You're not going to be popular. But if you talk about the things that, you know, the people you want to engage and attract in, now you have the key and the magic.
You know, that's pretty powerful because so many people, I mean, again, we don't try to do this as business owners, but so many of us, it's like we're so living in a bubble of it's, you know, here's what we do, here's who we are, here's all about us. And really, it's about what I'm hearing you say is focus in on trends or things that are timely or topical or newsworthy, twisting it so that you could be the expert authority on that. And that work, I mean, I love that for the media. But, you know, what you mentioned that I really want to spend a lot more time on is the whole big opportunity with internet TV right now. That is so, videos are hot. Everybody's talking about doing online TV. I think it's a big, I mean, I can't believe I knew some of the little terms that you used when you talked about Blab. I was like, ooh, I know what that is. Doesn't mean I know anything more than that, but I went, we're looking at that, you know, for our association. But can you share a little bit of where the opportunities are for internet TV? Because it's hot, right? I mean, you mentioned some amazing things, but how can business owners take advantage of anything related to internet TV a little more in depth than what you planted the seed for?
Oh, it is hot, hot, hot right now. And let me tell you, you know, almost everyone I think on this call listening to this, they have a website. So that being said, if you have a website and you're not broadcasting video on that, so it doesn't even have to be live. You're not necessarily live streaming because you're going to use these other platforms, which then can be recorded and you can then embed that video into your website. But let's say you're not comfortable with that right off the start. Then start with video. Everybody has a smartphone. One of the blabs that I just did recently was on shooting with your smartphone. I always talk about iPhones, but truly, you can do it with any phone, any smartphone device. And I teach this, and I show you as simple as connecting a lavalier microphone to it, getting started. You can get some great quality video, some simple editing, and you can get this done. So there's no barrier to entry. If you go back even about 8 years ago, the barrier to entry was tough. It was like, well, how am I going to do this? Do I get, you know, a DSLR? Those were just starting to come on the scene as far as, you know, really being video savvy and compatible for those of us who are video journalists. But before that, you were just using video cameras. So now you've got it in your pocket. You have no excuse to not do it. Connecting on platforms like Blab, Periscope, Facebook Live now gives you the ability to, instead of trying to drive all the traffic and get it to your website, because maybe your traffic isn't really significant there, you go to where the traffic is, and you're still, in essence, kind of renting an audience. I don't recommend building everything on these platforms. It's like, you know, building it on rented ground, and you don't want to do that. You want to own your own platform, but you also want to utilize the large numbers of people who are trafficking these social platforms and go to it. So very simple. You set up your account and you start connecting with influencers. You look at people who are doing it already, and then you come up with what are the 5, 10, 15 questions that everybody's asking. And by the way, this is the same formula that you're going to use to create brand journalism content for your blog posts, for your pages, for your, you know, you go to your FAQ page, for instance, and just look, what are you talking about there? And then take those topics and expand on it. Then you do a live where you can invite a guest in. And what I always recommend is to really structure it so that you can get the meat right onto the table, if you will. You know, in other words, make it a really meaty, you know, episode so that they get tangible tips to walk away. So I do the Brand Journalism Advantage podcast. There's about 250 episodes. Every episode, I tell my guests, you have to make it tangible tips that my community can take action on right away. You know, former journalists, I don't want to waste any time. I want to get right to the point. So the reason this is so important to use video, let me tell you this, and I just wrote a post on this on my Facebook notes page at the Brand Journalism Advantage, but Google has this rating guide for your website, right? And this is what they use to look at whether a website should rank high in the search engine results or whether it should be practically buried and non-existent. Everybody, of course, wants to be on page one. You can try to buy your way to it, but you also have to do it organically. And there's a thing called EAT, E-A-T, and that stands for expertise, highly authoritativeness, and highly trustworthy. So Google itself is saying that if you're not the expert, if you don't have authority to be talking about this, and if you're not trustworthy on your website, we're going to bury you because we don't consider you relevant and we don't want to offer up somebody who isn't deserving to be at the top of the search. So you can begin to see that where brand journalism really takes shape is it's not written like copywriting or even, you know, I don't want to piss anybody off here, but the content marketers, it's different. It really comes at it from that journalistic standpoint. Remember I said asking the right questions is the number one thing. Knowing the audience is vital. And then forming it in a way that engages. So if you read these guidelines that I published on the Brand Journalism Advantage Facebook page, you'll see it's talking about you have to be an authority in that space. And hear from Google's lips, as I say it to y'all, from them directly to your ears. Let it be known that they're saying video is one of the top ways to show a high level of EAT in your main content. So if that isn't enough to make you go, okay, I get it. You know, it's time to pick up a camera. It's time to get some video on my page and start pushing it out. And then, you know, of course, Facebook is saying, don't give it to us through YouTube. Upload it natively to have greater impact. If you start doing that now, you really can gain a competitive advantage. And it's these kinds of things that we talk about in my show. But so very important to walk away with this and remember expertise, highly authoritative, and highly trustworthy. That's what gets you ranked in Google.
Just so you know, I'm never going to think of the word EAT in the same way ever again. So that was a gem right there. I'm like, okay, I got it, EAT. But, you know, more than that, maybe what I love, oh, my gosh. But, you know, here's what I hear from women business owners, because obviously that is our audience. And, you know, I mean, a lot of these women business owners, I mean, they've heard about content creation. They're like, I know, you know, I need to have more blog posts. It's like I need to have more content. You know, we know video is hot. So what would be maybe, you know, for the women owners that are part of our audience, one or two first steps, you know, that they would take? And by the way, the other part is, I know you're fascinating in what you talk about. How would you like people to reach you? Because I would imagine a lot of our listeners have other questions. You know, they might want to raise their hand and say, oh my gosh, Phoebe, tell me about your services because I'm overwhelmed and I can't do it. How would you want people to reach you? And then I want to get into what would be a couple of tips you'd give people. How can people contact you?
Absolutely. Very simple. ThinkLikeAJournalist.com. So just ThinkLikeAJournalist.com. That's where my hub is. I keep, you know, all my content there, blog posts, all of the past podcast episodes. And if you go there now, I think for the next week, I've got a free video series. You enter your email and it'll send you, so this is perfect for where we're going. It'll send you three videos that show you how to start your first video. So it's very basic. But it's not long. They're short videos, but it tells you how I come at it and what I think about from a journalistic perspective. And I'll cover a little bit of that right now. Then, of course, if you are on Twitter, I'm always on Twitter. I respond there very quickly. And like I already mentioned, on Facebook, you can just search for my name or the brand Journalism Advantage, and you'll find me on Twitter as well, at Phoebe Chung-Chua. So number of ways you can hit me up on LinkedIn. I'm all over the web. But let me get to some of those tips because
I love it.
I love this, Michelle. It's like, I mean,
I know,
you can
tell.
I'm
taking
passionate.
Notes, just so you know, because I'm overwhelmed on all this, you know, because there's so many things you could do, and,
yeah,
you know, everybody's at a different place, and, you know, but light us up, because, you know, we'll have you back and all of it, but I do think that there's so many people just overwhelmed, and social media, and what's the right thing for my business, and I'm already overwhelmed with content and getting things done, so tip away, sister. What do you got for us? And we'll start with one or two, and let me see where that goes.
Sure. So for sure, I want everybody to know the place. In fact, I just had a call a few minutes ago with a woman who was kind of in this space. She's like, I'm overwhelmed. I'm not sure what to do with my branding. So the number one thing I say is do this. And this comes, I mean, I'm right there in the trenches if you're a newbie. And if you're more advanced than that in your career, these tips will help you as well. But let me just say, it all starts with really getting into the forums, getting into the groups like this, and learning. So getting on as many podcasts, downloading those, listening, it's free. Why not do it? And that gets, you know, your feet wet for where you want to go. So if you want to learn video, if you want to learn, you know, live streaming and things like that, how are people doing it? You've got to be part of it to do it. So that being said, what I always recommend when you're thinking about putting out content, and this is any content, but let's talk about video storytelling, all right, because that's, we've already seen Google telling us that's where you got to go. So the purpose of your content needs to fall into one of these four categories. And you can remember it with an acronym, just like we're going to remember the power of getting in raised results in Google searches is EAT. We're going to remember this acronym for creating any content, and it's IDEA. So it stands for Inform, Decide, Educate, Amuse. So pretty straightforward when you think about it. Your content needs to inform, or what I might call warn, right? So if you are that, let's use that analogy again, carrying the same theme through of the culinary school. If you are a culinary school and there's an E. coli outbreak, you might then again put out five tips to, you know, avoid E. coli either in restaurants or, you know, harder to do in restaurants, but I mean definitely able to do at home with the right cleaning materials of your countertops, et cetera. So they might put out something to inform, or they might warn. Maybe a product recall happened. Their culinary school makes sense. Let me know about it. I have a brand called The Plant-Based Diet. When I think it was Gerber had a recall of its baby formula, I put that out because I saw that as, hey, I want help warn, right? So that was the purpose of that content. Decide is helping me make a decision about something. Should I go to this culinary school? You know, should I choose this particular knife for cutting? What's the difference? So I'm writing a piece of content that helps my end user make a decision. Educate. It's similar to the other two, but it might be a little more impactful where I'm walking you through something. So for a culinary school, it might look something like this. Like, what are the costs of tuition? How can I offset it? So we did a story, one of the schools I worked for. We talked about the GI Bill. Not many people knew that, guess what? You can get the GI Bill, come out of, you know, the military, and then suit up in a different kind of uniform. And we released right around Veterans Day. So you can see, remember the piggyback journalism I'm talking about? So that's the perfect time to release that story because it's around Veterans Day. People are talking about that, and you say, hey, the GI Bill can get you into, you know, pastry baking or something like that. And then amuse is the funny stuff, you know, the entertainment, the things that your audience will find really intriguing. So you start by looking at those four categories. You look at your FAQ page. You look at the comments that are coming in, or maybe you get with your admin person and you say, I want you to, for the next 2 weeks, you know, write down all of the questions that come in, jot them down. We're going to have a meeting after 2 weeks, and we're going to talk about those questions and see what's being asked, because your audience will tell you what you need to talk about. If they're not talking to you, then you probe deeper and you start pushing things out. So the way to know this is through a series of five P's, and this is called the five P's of inbound marketing. And I'm just going to go through them really quickly, but I'll tell you where you can find them on my website so you can read about it. But it's really important for video storytelling. You need to know your persona, so who your audience is. I can always tell when a brand doesn't know their audience because they have a hard time creating the content. And then your purpose, your why in doing something, your plan to publish and get, you know, and put it all together and get the content in, and then your publishing calendar. And perfecting it is going back to that trial and error. And the fifth, or the final one is a bonus one, and this is called having patience. Because when you put your content out there, at first, did you hear that? You might hear nothing. It'll be like, what?
Yeah.
I'm not getting anything. So you can't stop. You turn it on and you go for it. But
those are amazing. I mean, I want to eat, I want an idea, and I want a five P's. Those are the messages I've got today. I mean, those are genius. And I know we're almost out of time because again, these are just gems that I think I can hear our listeners out there going, what? It's like I have all these things. You know, what would be the first place to start if you're a business owner and right now, you know, you're swimming in these, what would be the one first step that you recommend they take, you know, to be able to be looking more at what the trends are, to look at brand journalism as a benefit to their business, is maybe make a list of maybe things where they could start paying attention to newsworthy items and seeing if they could possibly, you know, recommend, you know, things that are trending. Yeah. Or what would be the one first step for businesses that are overwhelmed on this? Because, you know, they're swimming in Twitter, you know, and
sure.
Facebook, and what to do. What's one step?
So that's funny that you mentioned Twitter. So in the beginning, I hated Twitter because I didn't get it, and I thought, this is ridiculous. I love Twitter today. I would say a large part of, and I'm not kidding, I mean, it's so rich and good in terms of content from thought leaders. So I'm going to push you to Twitter. If you don't have a Twitter account, you need a Twitter account. There's a million different strategies. There's ones that really work. I've tried them all, and I can tell you that in coaching sessions, that's exactly what I teach, what works, what doesn't work. But here's the first thing you do. You get on Twitter, and let's say you go to somebody like me. You take a look at who's following me, and you look at that, and then you connect with some of these people. You can type in brand journalist as a search, for instance, and you can, or brand journalism, that type of thing. You type that in, and you can even form lists in your Twitter feed and have that. But at least if you get in the game and you start looking at that. The second thing you do is you set up a Google alert about your industry, but you also set up a Google alert about the things you want to learn about. So again, it might be brand journalism. Content marketing is much more well known, but I caution you, they are not the same thing. They are great tools mixed together, but they're not identical. So you set up these alerts, and then you spend your off time reading, you know, your downtime. You force yourself to read this stuff, and you slowly start to embrace it and understand. The phase after that would be you get a coach, you get someone to, you know, help you with it, to identify. If you're going to go at it alone, I gave you some tips by saying go to your FAQs, go to your admin person, and start collecting the content. But know that right now, I really, really encourage you to read that post on EAT that I talked about that's on the Brand Journalism Advantage Facebook page. You can find it in the notes section, because it will tell you key things about what Google is looking for. Like if the content is, if you happen to be getting your blogs in from, you know, no offense, but India or somewhere where they're just writing 200, 300 words and they're not well thought out, that's going to hurt you. So you really want to know that you are providing, remember, that expertise, that authority, and that trustworthiness. So that's where I would start. I would start with an education, and there's absolutely no reason to not do it because it's free. You know, like my show, 250 episodes. Not everyone's going to resonate with you. Pick and choose the ones that do and use those, and then take one strategy from each podcast and do it, and little by little, you'll grow.
Well, and I think it sounds like it's on any strategy. You know, we all want to tweak and refine what we do, but, it, you know, to me, I think that's where you do take a step back when it is overwhelming, because I can hear the owners going, what, across the U.S. going, you know, I don't have any more bandwidth to do anymore. But, you know, I know even for us with our radio show, it's like if I hadn't pulled in, you know, our very limited time of one of our team members, you know, and our staff, it's like I couldn't do what we do. So I think it does, it's like any strategy in business, Phoebe, but you're amazing. My gosh, it's like I want to say thank you to you because our time is up. But, you know, one thing that, you know, you can maybe share with our listeners, you were so inspiring, and I'm like ready. I'm like signing up for all this stuff, and it's always about what the future holds. But, in you know, in the next few years, I think one thing that most business owners would say is things have changed so much over the last 5 years where it's like we're just, it's a whirlwind. You know, what are some of the things that, you know, video is hot right now, internet TV is so hot. What is maybe a future forecast you see that you could share, you know, for our listening audience that would say this is where you really need to pay attention? And, I mean, you mentioned Twitter, but you said internet TV. Are those the hot things over the next few years that business owners need to pay the most attention to as far as brand journalism, or what are your thoughts on that? As a final.
Absolutely. Yeah, sure. So Instagram's another one, but here's the real deal. This may surprise you because I've spent a lot of time telling you that you need to grow your traffic to your website. Eat will help you do that. I'm going to tell you one thing that I think is a prediction going forward, and that's that you will still have a website, but you will be building much more of what you do, your presence, your brand, and you do have to have a personal brand, not just your brand, even if you're working for a company. You have to have your personal brand. Will also be what you are putting out on these main streams, and that is going to be more and more relevant. In fact, there's a magazine that's launching right now. I think it's for the tween age, you know, so the teens, and they have really no website. They're pushing content out through wherever their audience is. So remember when I said post to Facebook notes, post to LinkedIn poll, get your information onto Twitter, get it onto Instagram. Find those three, if you can, key platforms. Publish to that. Don't ignore your website. Publish to your website as well. But know that these entities can help you grow faster than anything else. Also, remember how we started this. We talked about being on the news, right? Getting your story into the newscast as opposed to being like a 30-second commercial, which isn't inside the newscast. It runs side by side, but it's not inside. It's not part of our newscast. Getting inside, it's always better. So it's the same thing. When you get inside Inc. magazine or Forbes or Huffington Post, that's that instant credibility, and that comes through that piggyback journalism. So my prediction is that websites will still be valuable, but you will get more traction from, and really this is going on right now, you'll get more traction from being in these spots, and we will move more toward just a hub for where your content is, but you will stream it all out through all these other entities that will carry even more weight than they do today.
Woo! I don't know. We got to end on that note, girl, but that we're ending on a high. So, Phoebe, I want to say thank you for being our leading lady, and I want to say thank you to all of our listeners. You know, we love your loyalty. We are, oh, my gosh, you are wonderful. And we are here every Friday at 2 p.m. and Mondays at 9 a.m. I hope all of you have a great weekend, but I want to share with you our next leading lady next week on Friday. We are going to be talking about good guys and guys who are overcoming obstacles to diversity and getting men engaged with the conversation to support women. Our leading lady is Teresa Beck, who is one of the partners at Lincoln, Gustafson, and Cercos, and she was also one of our finalists for the Women of Influence Awards in San Diego, California last week. So I know we'll have great conversation on that one on finding good guys. Again, I am your humble host for Women Lead Radio, and as I always like to say, if you are a woman and you're out there, please make an effort, you know, to lift each other up and support each other. Have a great weekend.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence. the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.